Blog Talk Radio.
November the 14th. Quite a day here in North Texas. Very pretty day as we're getting ready for Thanksgiving. I guess it would be 2 weeks from this week, and everybody seems to be getting in that mood, starting to plan trips and all that kind of stuff, the kind of stuff that we do, of course, with Thanksgiving around the corner. We're going to talk today about Attorney General Sessions. He's before Congress, and there's a couple of big stories that I think you'll see develop from those hearings. The NFL continues to be in crisis. I don't know where this is going, but wherever it goes, it's not good for the NFL. It does, you know, there's a lack of leadership in the NFL, both at the player level and at the ownership level. And of course, all of this coming together into the commissioner's office. But there is a horrible lack of leadership, and I think that's why they're in such a mess. We have a post at the American Thinker today regarding Oscar Lopez Rivera, and this is the terrorist, the Puerto Rican terrorist, who was set free early by President Obama. He commuted the sentence. He didn't pardon him. He commuted the sentence. I think the sentence was I don't know how many years, and he let him off a few years early. And the tragedy of this man is that he's now in Cuba. He's being awarded a revolutionary medal of some kind by the Cuban government. So here's a man who was involved in the killing of American policemen, U.S. policemen. There were several who were killed. Whether Lopez Rivera himself pulled a trigger, we don't know that, but he was clearly a part of the organization that was doing these things. He was convicted for that. He was put in jail. He was offered a conditional release several years ago, but he turned it down because I think he was required to accept guilt, and he didn't. He wouldn't do it. So now he gets his sentence commuted by President Obama. Now he's down in Cuba. Now he's down in Cuba meeting with the Castro government. He's now the big hero of the revolution. What a disgrace, I think, that is for, what a finger in the eye that is for President Obama. You commute the sentence of a terrorist. So what does he do? Instead of going into obscurity and dedicating himself to something worthwhile, he's on a trip down to Cuba, and he's going to be honored by the Cuban Revolution as a great man. I mean, this is a disgrace. And it irritates the heck out of me to see this happen. But this is the consequence, as I write in my post. This is the consequence of creating a relationship with Cuba that never demanded anything from the Cuban government. It was like the Obama administration was desperately trying to put the embassy in Cuba at any cost, at any price. And Castro just sat back and say, okay, well, you can open your embassy, but we're not going to do anything to meet your terms. And I think this is just another consequence of that. And certainly Mr. Trump, President Trump, has reversed the actions, and he's taken a much tougher posture against the Cuban government. And when you see Lopez Rivera in Cuba, that's when you understand exactly what President Trump is doing, and why he's taking a tougher stance against that corrupt dictatorship down in Cuba. Let's talk a little bit about Attorney General Sessions. As I say, he's before Congress. You're basically, this is, by the way, these presentations before Congress have turned into a circus. And what I mean by that is these are very important presentations in the sense that the House of Representatives, in this case, they have a very important responsibility, constitutional oversight responsibility. So they have every reason in the world to invite the Attorney General to the House and ask him some questions. But unfortunately, what ends up happening is that every member of the committee gives a 5-minute speech, and every member of a committee has a group that they want to make happy with their speech. So today, the Democrats are going to ask nothing but stupid questions about Russia, collusion with Russia, something we've been talking about for a year, and there's no evidence of it. And then I think some Republicans are going to talk about an independent counsel regarding the Clinton Foundation. Now, I think that may very well be what happens. I think that the Attorney General could end up announcing, if not today, certainly very soon, that there's going to be an independent counsel, not just looking at the foundation, but looking at all of the, you know, the whole story with FBI Director Comey and the information we've heard about whether or not he had written that memo before. Then you have that the memo that he discussed where he said that Hillary Clinton was not guilty. And then, of course, you have that famous meeting between President Clinton and Attorney General Lynch. So I think there's enough there. There's enough there to have an investigation. Now, my preference would be that this investigation be done by Congress. I'm not a big fan of these independent counsels because, as we're seeing with Mr. Mueller, they tend to go off in different directions and they're completely out of control. They spend a lot of money and they go on forever. I think whereas a congressional investigation would be more time specific and they can still get to the same facts as an independent counsel. But apparently there's going to be an independent counsel. I'm not opposed to it. I just would prefer that Congress do these things. That's what the Constitution gives Congress the oversight powers to do. But that's, I think that's going to be the big story of the day. The Democrats will ask stupid questions about Russia, and the Republicans will get to something very serious, which is the Director Comey and Mrs. Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and uranium, all this stuff, I believe, and the famous dossier that apparently is also part of the mix, unmasking of U.S. citizens. All of this, I believe, will be part of the meeting today. And hopefully at the end of the day, the Attorney General will leave this meeting with something of consequence rather than just answering a bunch of questions about whether or not he met with this Russian official on this particular day or not. I think, again, these hearings have turned into a circus, and I would just love to see a little seriousness on the part of these members of Congress, particularly the Democrats. And I'm not just picking on Democrats, but my goodness, what a disgrace to see some of these Senator or Congressman Conyers, who is, I guess, the ranking Democrat. He goes off for like 5 minutes reading a statement talking about Nixon and talking about letters that he sent to the Justice Department. And it's like, Congressman, what are you talking about? You know, what are you talking about? But again, this is what's happening with our House. The House is extremely partisan right now, extremely partisan. And I think this is why we get these circus type atmosphere in the House of Representatives. I don't think this is doing anybody any good, by the way. I don't think any of this is doing the country any good. I don't think anybody walks away from these hearings thinking that, I feel a bit better about the country now. I don't think so. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and just as we were taking this break, I was looking at the screen. And apparently a Democrat is asking AG Sessions, Attorney General Sessions, about a meeting that he had with the ambassador in in 2016. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, Senator Sessions, or then Senator Sessions, was an extremely important member of a military and national security committee. Of course he's going to meet with a Russian ambassador. The Russian ambassador was literally half of his time in Congress trying to meet with members of Congress about this or that. But that's not illegal. And yet these connections are being made. These, you know, people are connecting these dots, and they're not addressing, I think, some of the real issues in the country, which is the unmasking of U.S. citizens, the uranium deal, and many of these others that I think are far more evidence that laws were broken. So what a circus. What a circus to watch, unfortunately. Many of these Democrats. Well, the Alabama story, the Judge Moore story in Alabama continues. That apparently will go on for a while. And as I've said many times, I did not support Roy Moore. I would have preferred for the existing senator, Senator Strange, I would have preferred for him to have won the GOP primary down in Alabama. Now, I don't get to vote in Alabama. I'm just simply saying that would have been my preference. I've always had my questions about Roy Moore. I think he is one of these guys that you can't quite figure out, but I think Senator Strange so far has done his job as a senator fairly well. I would have preferred him, but Moore won. And that's just the way it is. And the people of Alabama will have to decide all of this. But here's what really troubles me, and we're going to do a show about it on Thursday, where we're going to talk with our friend Frank Burke. Frank is a businessman and author, and he wrote a book a couple of years ago about the media and many of these big stories. And we're going to talk about that, because what concerns me most about the Moore story in Alabama is not Roy Moore himself or the woman or the women who are making these allegations. What concerns me more than anything else is a media that is willing to write a story about something that happened 38 years ago, especially something he said, she said type of allegation. We don't have a dead body here. We don't have a woman who was raped. We don't have a woman who was pregnant. We don't have anything like that. We don't have a woman who was forced to have an abortion to hide her pregnancy. We don't have any of that in this story. All we have is he said, she said, he touched me. Then, of course, Mr. Moore denies that he did. So you have this basically this classic he said, she said story. Now, I know there's more than one woman. I understand that. But still, it is really fascinating that something that happened 38 years ago would be injected into a senatorial campaign and become the leading issue of the campaign. I just think that's overdoing it by the media. I think the media is overdoing the story, and there has to be some kind of internal police. Obviously, you cannot do it. You cannot regulate the media. I understand that. But there has to be some sense of decency, if you will, in some of these editorial rooms where they say, you know what? No, we're not going to write a story about something that happened 38 years ago, a he said, she said story. We're not going to do that. And all of this, of course, is interesting because there's a new article that came out in The Atlantic by a lady. I believe her last name is Flanagan. And she's writing an article called The Reckoning of Bill Clinton, basically saying that maybe it's time to go back. If we're going to do this to Judge Moore, maybe it's time to go back and really take a look at many of the women who had accused Bill Clinton. In some cases, they have better evidence than what these women in Alabama do. And I would recommend that you read the article. It's called The Reckoning of Bill Clinton, and it really criticizes the feminists who back in the late 90s supported Bill Clinton, who stood with Bill Clinton and made his presidency possible. I think if many of these feminists had basically said, no, we're not defending this, Clinton probably would have been forced to resign. But yet he was protected by many of these feminists, and this article really addresses that. I'm going to recommend that you check it out. It's in the if you go to the internet and put The Reckoning of Bill Clinton, you'll see the article. It's a very, very, very good article. Speaking of senators in trouble, Senator Menendez is in a trial right now. We don't know what's going to happen to him. But what's interesting about that is that if he's forced to resign, who's going to name his successor? Is it going to be outgoing Chris Christie, or is it going to be the incoming governor of New Jersey? The difference, of course, the outgoing governor is a Republican. The incoming governor is a Democrat. And I don't know when the transition is over, but clearly that could be a big decision that Chris Christie makes in the last few weeks of his term as governor of New Jersey. So we'll keep an eye on that particular story. A couple of things from on this day in history worth recalling. 1851, the book Moby Dick was published. For many of us, we saw the movie. We saw the movie first. That was my case. I saw that great movie. I think it was from the 50s. And then I read the book in school. It's a great book. And it's also a pretty good movie as well. So it's one of those cases where the book and the movie are very interesting. And speaking of movies, a couple of years ago, they made a movie about the Marshall College team, the plane crash that killed many members of that Marshall football team. The team or the Marshall is from West Virginia. And it was on this day in 1970 that plane crash took place that just devastated that school in West Virginia. Marshall was the name of the school, and the plane crash happened on this day in 1970. It's a great movie. It's a great movie. It was recently on television. It's a great movie about a school that went through quite a story back in 1970. Well, that's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to our show today. Thank you for all your comments, and we get them, we read them, and we enjoy them. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.